serving Jesus, but in my own power, I was doing all I knew to do. But I was not prepared for the hour when a high mountain came into view. In my own strength, I struggled to climb it. But oh, such weakness I felt. Somewhere on that mountain in darkness, I came to the end of myself. But when I came to the end of myself, He was there to give me His hand. When I said I'm not able, He said I am. In my weakness I discovered the strength of the Lamb. His almighty power I felt when I came to the end of myself. There's a secret you may be missing as you struggle to just make it through. It will take more than your best to please Him. Jesus wants to live His life through you. So He'll bring you to high rugged mountains for a lesson that you must learn well. Then He'll patiently wait for the moment when you come to the end of yourself. Then when you come to the end of yourself, He'll be there to give you His hand. When you say you're not able, He'll say, I am. In your weakness, you'll discover the strength of the Lamb. In victory, you'll say it is well. When you come to the end of yourself, then when you come to the end of yourself, He'll be there to give you His hand. When you say you're not able, He'll say, I am. In your weakness, you'll discover the strength of the Lamb. In victory, you'll say it is well. When you come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself.
That's a great song, isn't it? Well sung. And that's where some of you are this morning. You've come to a high, rugged mountain, and God brought you there. He didn't bring you there to crush you. He brought you there so that you'd look up and reach out your hand for His. Because He wants to be your help. He wants to be your source of strength. And a great song, great truth. Open your Bible to Exodus 17 this morning. We're in Exodus 17, the summer of 17, preaching through different chapter 17s in our Bible. And this morning, where were we last Sunday? Deuteronomy, I believe. So we're now in Exodus today, Exodus 17. I meant to mention earlier, I hope you prayed this week for Brother Eric Denno. I'm glad he's here this morning. His grandfather was tragically killed a little over a week ago Saturday. Very difficult week for him and his family. But I appreciate his faithfulness being here this morning. And Brother Eric, God bless you, man. We've been thinking about you this week. Exodus 17, let me ask you to stand in honor of God's Word for sake of time. I'm going to read one verse, but please keep your Bible open to this chapter. Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I want to speak to you this morning on the greatest rivalry. The greatest rivalry. Father in heaven, would you please bless our time in your Word? Thank you for the great music that's been an encouragement to us. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away, constantly abiding. On and on the good songs go, that God help us and prepare our hearts for the message. And now we come to you asking that you'll please bless the preaching of your word to our hearts this morning. May good seed fall on good ground and bring forth good fruit in our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Now, down through the history of competitive sports, there have been famous rivalries. pitting two individuals or two teams against each other. And this is true even today. I'm a little shy, Brother Jack, on platform monitor volume, just a little bit for my voice this morning. That's true today. Those rivalries generate a lot of passion among those involved in the games and their fan base as well. I think of when I was a kid, Dad would get Sports Illustrated, and I remember the rivalry between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. Old smoking Joe Frazier. And I always wanted Joe Frazier to win because Muhammad Ali was a deserter. Amen. Cassius Clay. All right. And I think they fought three times and Ali won twice. And that was a great rivalry in boxing. College football. Brother Marty, college football. Michigan and Ohio State. Michigan and Ohio State, great rivalry. I think of in our neck of the woods down in Georgia, it was Georgia-Florida. That is still a huge rivalry. When you go to the NFL, if you'll Google greatest NFL rivalries, you know what's going to be right near the top of the list? Bears-Packers. Bears-Packers. This church would have a split almost over Bears-Packers. Bears-Packers. And for some folks out east, it's the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles, neighboring cities, if you will. In baseball, I think of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, who used to be the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they were rivals. There was rivalry back then. Red Sox-Yankees today, I think of the NBA rivalries, the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. I think of tennis rivalries, John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors. Some of you might remember that years ago. In NCAA basketball, where I lived for 10 years, Iowa State. Man, is that a rivalry. The Cyclones versus the Hawkeyes. And on we could go. A rivalry is made up of two rivals. You can't have a rivalry unless you got two rivals. Now, what's the definition of the word rival? One who is in pursuit. Now, watch this. We're going somewhere with this. One who is in pursuit of the same object as another. One striving to reach or obtain something which another is attempting to obtain, but only one can win. Those are rivals. Now, we'll leave sports and come to the theme of the message this morning. If you are a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you become a child of God. You don't become a child of God by baptism. You don't become a child of God because you were born into a Christian family. You don't become a child of God because you sit in a church pew. You become a child of God because you're saved by grace through faith in the finished work, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, if that's you, okay? And really, my message is not to unsay people, but let me just say this morning that if your hope of heaven is based on some work, if your hope of heaven is based on some church tradition, then you need to come this morning and get saved. Get saved. Born into God's family. Okay? Now, if you are saved, if you're a child of God, then you have a rival. You have the greatest rivalry going on in your life. The truth is, a team can have more than one rival, but usually there is one rivalry that is more intense, more passionate than all of the others. And I'm going to tell you, folks, in my life and in your life this morning and all throughout our life, once we're saved, the greatest rivalry is played out in my life and yours. It's been played out this week. It's been played out this morning. It will be continued to play out in years ahead. As a saved person, when you came by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in your body the moment you got saved. I like what Paul asked in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? God's Spirit lives in you. If you are saved, that happened the moment you said, well, Pastor, when I prayed to get saved, I didn't feel anything coming into my body. It's because you're not saved by feelings. You're saved by faith. So I taught the class this morning, folks, feelings has nothing to do with you getting saved. Feelings has nothing to do with you keeping yourself saved. You don't keep yourself saved anyway, being assured of salvation. God's Spirit moves in. When God's Spirit moves in, God's Spirit longs to control us. He wants to control our hearts. He wants to control our minds, our bodies, our soul, our strength, our will. He wants all of me. He wants all of you. He seeks to control us. And by the way, that's a good thing. Because if we're operating our life under the control of the Holy Spirit, we're walking in the Spirit. And that's a very, very good thing as a Christian. Now, that happened when you got saved. But I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit has a rival. The Holy Spirit has a rival. In your body. In my body. The Holy Ghost has a rival, and there is a rivalry being conducted every day that you and I live, and we learn about it. Here, a good picture of it in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. Some of you might have heard Brother Brown has like a famous sermon called Then Came Amalek. Okay, which I didn't consult the sermon. I just know he preaches it. Look at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, I want you to look at some of the symbolism here. Look at the fact that Amalek fought with Israel, Israelites. Who are the Israelites? They're the people of God. They're God's chosen. They belong to God. They get God's blessing because they, and as the chosen people of God, God's Spirit works with them and God empowers them and God blesses them. If you don't believe that, look at the geography, which we will do. In a coming message on Sunday morning, I'm going to put it on the screen. You're going to see, folks, the size geographically of the nation of Israel compared to the landmass that the Muslims and the Arabs live in. It's nothing short of miraculous that Israel even exists. There's no explanation for it other than they're God's chosen people. Which some would have us not to believe that anymore. But you can't explain their existence as a nation geographically without including God. And the wars that they've won. The Bible even talks about it. 10 shall chase 100. And God blesses them. So the Israelites are God's people. He empowers them. He blesses them. He's their chosen people. That's the Israelites. Now look at the word Amalek, the name Amalek. Who is Amalek? Well, we won't turn to it. In Genesis 36:12, Amalek is the son of Timnah, the wife of Eliphaz. Well, who's Eliphaz? Eliphaz was one of Esau's sons. So Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Big deal. Whoa, 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 whoa. Esau had a twin brother. His name? Jacob. Esau is symbolic of the flesh. You remember how he sold his birthright for a bowl of chili? Watch it. He gave up something spiritually minded for something fleshly minded. He gave up a great spiritual blessing for a bowl of chili. Now, chili is good, folks, but I wouldn't necessarily call it spiritual. Okay? Unless you put some Tony's in there, a little hot sauce or something. But he gave up a birthright. I don't have time to go into all that this morning. A spiritual blessing from God that God had given to him, he traded it for a bowl of red beans. He gave it up. Now, Jacob, his twin brother, is symbolic of the Spirit of God. So with Jacob and Esau, we have spirit versus flesh. Spirit versus flesh. And all of that to say that Amalek is symbolic of the flesh. Now listen very carefully. You've got to get this or you're going to miss the theme of the message. When I'm using the word flesh this morning, I'm not talking about this physical skin and membrane and tissue that makes up my body. When I'm using the word flesh this morning, I am talking about the old sin nature that dwells in this physical body. If you have a physical body, you have a sin nature. You got it when the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. So you've got this physical body that contains this flesh, this nature of sin. It's carnal. It wants nothing to do with God. It has no motive for living for God. It hates everything that's about God. It's in me and it's in you. Are you with me this morning? Then came Amalek, the flesh. and fought with Israel the Spirit. Flesh versus Spirit. Flesh versus Spirit. There is the greatest rivalry going on in the world today. It's not Bears, Packers. It's not Red Sox, Yankees. It's not Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. The greatest rivalry in the world today is in the body of a child of God, where the flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. They are contrary to each other. They are rivals. There is a rivalry between them. What's a rivalry? They're both competing for the same objective. They want control of our lives. So the Spirit of God wants to control me, and my flesh wants to control me. And the Spirit of God wants to control you, and your flesh wants to control you. And it's every day, day after day, day after day, this rivalry inside of us. Flesh versus spirit. Spirit versus flesh. It's a great rivalry. And I want to point out three things about it, and we'll be done this morning. Number one, from this passage, I want you to see that Amalek was Israel's first enemy. Amalek was Israel's first enemy. Hold your finger here and turn over to Numbers, if you will. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, go to your right. Go to your right through through Exodus, through Leviticus, and then go to Numbers chapter 24. We're going to look at one verse, then right back to Exodus 17. Look at Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 20. Look at the verse here. I want you to see it. Mark it in your Bible. Then you'll remember this down the road. This is the Bible. Okay, and it's talking about God. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, because God put these words in Balaam's mouth, Amalek was the first of the nations. Now, do you see what he said there? Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be he that he perish forever. He was the first of the nations. Now, what does he mean by the first of the nations? Amalek was the first nation that fought and warred against Israel. Let's go back to Exodus 17. Are you a little bit familiar with Israel? They're down in the land of Egypt. 430 years, okay? They are under bondage and oppression. They are slaves and servants in the land of Egypt. Through the blood of the Passover lamb, God delivers them. The deliverer delivered his people. Amen. They come out of the land of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea over on dry ground. Now they've crossed over. Egypt came after them. Pharaoh came after them with horses and chariots. But oh boy, oh boy. They tried to do what God intended for His people to do, and Pharaoh tried to cross that Red Sea on dry ground, and God just kind of whooshed and began to melt everything, and the wheels came off their chariots. You talk about a bad place for a flat tire. They were in a heap of trouble, and God drowned all the Egyptian army. They're dead. Now Israel is beyond the Red Sea. They come to Rephidim, and who shows up to fight them? Amalek. Amalek was the first enemy that Israel faced after God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Now, folks, look at the symbolism here. You and I are in bondage to sin. We are the servants and slaves of sin. But through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are delivered. Amen. We are baptized in water as a symbol of being saved. And the penalty of sin is over. We are victorious over sin's penalty forever. Does that mean we live a scot-free life of happiness and victory? No, sir. Because the first enemy that shows up to fight us is our old flesh. The flesh is the oldest enemy. It's the first to attack us after we get saved. As soon as we got saved, the old carnal nature in us started to war against the Spirit of God. What happened when we got saved? Spirit of God moves in. What happens when the Spirit of God moves in? The flesh puts on the boxing gloves. And the war starts. Folks, that's why it's so important to get started living for God as soon as you get saved. As soon as you get saved. You know, look, all the years of being unsaved. Well, how old were you when you got saved? Think about it for a minute. Some of you were saved at 6. Some of you saved at 16. Some 30. I was saved at 18. Some 36 and so forth. It doesn't matter. All those years of being unsaved, the flesh was so happy. You know why? It was in control. No threat. No threat whatsoever. The flesh is so happy. The flesh is in complete control. And even, you know, we, along the way, maybe we tossed in a little bit of religion to make ourselves feel good or some religious exercise. You think the flesh was bothered by religion? You think the flesh was bothered by church attendance? Especially if they didn't preach the Bible. Yeah, go on to church, man. Do yourself a little favor, you know. Sit yourself in the pew and the preacher gets up and tells a little funny story. Everybody goes, ha-ha, and goes home. The flesh is not worried about that. Oh, but listen, let me tell you something. When you sat under the witness of a Bible preacher, or you sat under the witness of the Holy Scripture of God, and the Holy Spirit began to work on your heart and bring conviction to your heart, the flesh started getting nervous. And when you bowed in faith and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Ghost moves in and the flesh goes bananas. The flesh is upset. The flesh is angry. When the Holy Spirit moves in, the war begins. You don't want to obey Him. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to get baptized. Here's the Spirit of God. Come on, let's go to church. Come on, let's get baptized. Let's obey the Lord. Let's live for God. No, you don't want to go to church. No, you don't want to get baptized. That's how it happens. What's the objective? Control. It's war. It's rivalry. It's developed in our bodies after we get saved. And you know, Spirit of God says, here, let's read the Bible. Oh, you don't want to read the Bible, man. Wouldn't you rather read this magazine? Oh, you don't want to read the Bible. Why don't you surf the internet? I don't have time to read the Bible. But you got an hour to surf the internet. What's the problem? It's the rivalry. It's the war going on. Flesh, spirit, spirit, flesh. Bang, bang, bam, bam, pow, pow. Okay? It's not Batman and the Joker. It's the Holy Ghost and the flesh. It's just add it, add it, add it, add it, add it, add it, add it. Here it is. Bang, bang, bang. It goes on all the time. Time to pray. Spirit of God says, okay, it's time to pray. Draws your heart toward God. Hey, pray for a little bit. Here comes the flesh. Mr. Sandman. Which happens to own church on Sunday morning sometimes. Are the fans on today, Brother Griffin? I asked you last time, you said yes, and they weren't. Are they on today? You're sure about that. All right, good. Every time I try to pray, I get so sleepy. It's the flesh. The flesh doesn't want me to pray. The flesh doesn't want you to pray. The Spirit of God, it's the rivalry. Bang, bang. It's fight, 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 fight. The first enemy to war against the Holy Spirit is our flesh. Amalek was the first nation to fight against Israel, and our flesh is the first one to fight against the Holy Spirit in our bodies. Let me say number two this morning. Amalek attacked Israel after a great victory. Amalek attacked Israel after a great victory. Look at verse number 1. Look at chapter 17, verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. So here they are. They're out there. They've come through the Red Sea. They're out there in the wilderness area. They're on their way to the Promised Land. And there is no water to drink. Folks, we're not talking about a family of three people, a family of six people. We're talking about 2.5 million people, no water. How'd you like to be Moses? How'd you like to keep 2.5 to 3.5 million people happy? Help us. No water. Look at verse number 2 and 3. You know, we don't have time for it. They murmured, they complained, they griped. Why'd you bring us out here to kill us? Blah, blah, blah. They're upset, they're angry. Verse number 4, they want to kill Moses. They're ready to stone him. What shall I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone. What did Moses have to do with no water? He had nothing to do with it. Look at verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on now before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. What? Water out of a rock? And the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He did what? He smote the rock, and guess what? Water came out. You say, ha ha, no, ho ho, that happened. Miraculous God. And that was also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, because one day He'd be smitten and blood would flow from Him. But let's look at the story. They drank water from a rock. They drank it. Now, can you see this? They got their thirst quenched. There had been no water to drink. Now there was plenty of water. Folks, live this. What do you think is happening in the camp of 2.5 to 3.5 million people when they went from no water to more water than they could handle. Now they are laughing instead of murmuring. They are cheering instead of complaining. They have joy instead of despair. They have happy music instead of doom and gloom. They have calm in their hearts instead of tension. Man alive, God won a great victory for them. Ah. Want some more water? Want some more water? Where'd that come from? We have war on the heels of great victory. War. While they're celebrating, then comes Amalek and fights with them. And that's a good picture of how the flesh works and operates in our lives. Listen very carefully. You cannot turn your back on the flesh for 1 minute. You say, but Pastor, I'm doing so good. I've had such a good season of reading my Bible. I really feel like I've turned the corner. Be careful. You know who's waiting around the corner? You say, Pastor, I've had such a good prayer life. I feel like, you know, I struggled for so long. But, you know, the emphasis a couple times this year, and I feel like I'm moving. I've got traction. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe a train called your flesh. Because, brother, the flesh never sits idle. And when you and I, watch it, are a little bit relaxed, a little bit rejoicing, and a little bit calm, and a little bit at ease, and a little bit cheerful because we've won a great victory, the flesh sees that as an opportunity to wham. You follow baseball. You follow the Cubs this year. Despite our Cardinal fans being here this morning, I've got to remind them about the Cubs winning the World Series. You know what? You know what happened? Yay, jump around, celebrate on the diamond. You know what that victory did last year, last November, and they finally won it, Game 7? You know what that did? That drew a great big target. Every team that comes to play the Cubs, they're playing the champions. You and I have a victory in our Christian life when it comes to our Bible reading. Here's somebody that's had a hard time with their temper, and they go 3.5 weeks, and they haven't lost their temper because they're praying about it, asking God to help them with their temper. And look at this! 3.5 weeks, I haven't lost my temper. You know, all that does, folks, is put a great big target on your back. That's all it does. That's all the flesh is waiting for. Just a little bit of letting your guard down. A little bit of not being concerned and care less. I remember Dr. House preached a message one time. If you become casual, you will become a casualty. You can't get casual about your Christian life. You can't get casual about the Spirit of God. You can't let your guard down because the flesh is waiting just every opportunity. Wham! Here they come. The flesh never lets up. See, that's one nice thing about getting older. The flesh will lose its power, lose its steam. Oh, no, it doesn't. It's relentless. It comes and it comes and it comes and it comes after our victories. Be careful. Have things been going well for you as a child of God? Have you been enjoying God's presence? Have you been walking in the light of His presence? Have you been doing well with your Bible reading? Have you done well with overcoming something that got you in the past? Are you doing well right now? I'm glad you are. Just be careful. Here comes the flesh. Looking for an opportunity. Number three. Amalek attacks in the valley. Amalek attacks in the valley. Look at verse number 8 again. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek. You know what the word means? Valley dwellers. People who live in the valley. Boy, does our flesh like to get on us when we are in the valley. When you are sick, I'm talking about physically sick, the flesh will take advantage of that and wear you out. When you are physically, I'll use the word S, sleepy, the letter S. When you're physically sleepy, by that I mean tired, be careful. The flesh will take advantage of it when you are physically tired. When you are sad emotionally, when you've been through something that has drained you emotionally, be careful, folks. The flesh will jump on you. You see, it kind of sounds like the flesh likes to jump on us when we're down. Exactly. I'll throw another one at you. When your schedule changes, you better be careful of your flesh. Man, you know, you got this schedule, you got this routine. You're, okay, Bible reading, prayer, going to church. This is, you know, I've got this thing. I'm incorporating all these things into my life because that's what the Holy Spirit wants. It wants control of my life, and I want to walk in the Spirit and obey Him. And I got all these things, and then something comes along that sidetracks us, and our schedule changes, and it may not even be something bad, but you change schedules, and when you change schedules, all of a sudden, you're fighting the desire to go to church. You're fighting the desire to read your Bible. What in the world? What happened to me? I was locked in. I was in a groove, man. I was going. I had some traction in my Christian life. And I had to stop doing this because of a reason that was beyond my control. Exactly. Boom. Here comes the flesh. It's how the flesh operates. It's how the flesh works. He's there constantly, bang, bang, every chance he gets. He attacks us in the valley. Fight, fight, fight. Are you physically sick? Are you emotionally sad? Are you physically tired? Have you had a change of schedule? Have you been sidetracked by something that wasn't even your fault? All I'm saying is, be careful. The rivalry doesn't take a vacation. The rivalry doesn't take a break. Fight, fight, fight. Well, let's see. Amalek is the first attacker. Amalek attacks after victories. Amalek attacks in the valleys. Pastor, when does it stop? Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. In this same chapter, there's verse 16. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Kind of sounds like the war between the flesh and the spirit just goes on and on and on and on. Oh, my goodness. When will it end? When you see Jesus? Well, that's when I die. Got it. You mean until I die? Yep, until you die. Because the flesh is in this body. And until you die, the Holy Ghost is in this body. And folks, you put two guys who aren't very happy with each other in the same room. Some of you have to separate your kids at the house. You sit at this end of the table. You sit at this end of the table. Because there's a sibling. Oh, rivalry. I got it. And there's no relationship here, but there is a rivalry for control of our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to control us and the flesh wants to control us. Now, I'm done with this. Defeating Amalek requires a combination of prayer and pursuit. And it is found in the rest of the story. If you start reading in verse number 9 and go through the rest of the story, here's what happens. God tells Moses, now watch me, we'll have time to read the scripture. Moses, you go up to the top of the hill and you take Aaron and Hur with you. You leave Joshua in the valley where Amalek is, the valley dwellers. And you pray and Joshua fights. And Moses will pray, and Joshua will fight. And Moses will pray, and Joshua will fight. And when Moses' hands are held up, Joshua wins. And when Moses' hands are down, the Amalekites wins. And folks, the only way to defeat the flesh and live for God is through prayer and pursuit. What do you mean pursuit? I mean this. If you don't have a job, you can't sit on the couch and pray for a job and expect God to answer your prayer. You start the day by praying, oh God, I don't have a job. I need one. Please help me to find one. I'm going out to look for one today. Lead me, guide me, direct me, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you pursue. And tomorrow you pray and you pursue. And the next day you pray and you pursue. And so it is in defeating the flesh. You start your day by saying, oh God, today I want to walk in the Spirit. Today I want to obey the Lord. Today I want my life to count for God. I don't want to waste my day in fleshly carnal activity. I don't want to obey the flesh. Please help me. And then you go out, folks, and put feet to your prayer. You put feet to your prayer. And you pray and pursue, and you pray and pursue, and God will give you the victory. Look at verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Oh boy, amen. You mean Joshua defeated Amalek? Yep. So that's the end of them? Nope. Their descendants showed up and fought with Israel again. You say, good grief. It's endless. It's the greatest rivalry. It's not Ohio State, Michigan. It's not Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier. It's flesh versus spirit. Flesh versus spirit. Spirit versus flesh. Who's going to control me today? Who's going to control you today? Who's going to control you? Who's going to win? This enemy has been with us, folks, from the beginning. He just never had any competition until we got saved. Now there's a competitor. Here he comes. He's called the Holy Ghost. He lives. Now it's time. Boy, bang, bang, fight, fight, fight. You want a victory. Enjoy some traction in your spiritual life. Man, I got this thing. It's happening. Bam. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's rock music. I don't care if it's some kind of habit. You can get victory over that. If you turn your back 1 second on that subject, folks, without being careful, here comes Amalek. You're in trouble again. And trouble again, and trouble again, and trouble again, and trouble again, and trouble again. The flesh will always be there to fight against the spirit. It takes prayer. It takes pursuit. If you are in a time of sickness, sadness, tiredness, your schedule has changed, you're sidetracked, you better be double dog aware. I am a prime candidate for my flesh. It's the greatest rivalry. You know who decides who wins? Me and you. Who are you going to give yourself to today? Who are you going to give yourself to tomorrow? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? It's the greatest rivalry. It won't end until we die. Thank God, one of the great things about eternity, there'll be no flesh to battle. No flesh to battle. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You for the privilege to be saved. I thank You for the privilege that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. I thank You, God, for the privilege of being Your child. And Lord, I thank You that Your Word teaches us in this passage and many other passages about our greatest rival, the flesh. God, help us to live aware of the rivalry. I'm preaching to people this morning, myself, oh God, we need to be reminded of the rivalry. It's in us. Would You please help us to yield to the Spirit? Would You please help us to walk in the Spirit, to obey Him, to yield Him control, and not fulfill the lust of our flesh? Please help us, O God. Please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I am aware of the rivalry, and I'm glad to be reminded of it this morning because I needed it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting this morning? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Somebody else say, Pastor, include me. I should have raised my hand. I don't want to be left out of that prayer. All right. God bless you. Yes. Somebody else. Yes. Thank you. The flesh. Ah, it's horrible. It's anti-God. The flesh. Wants nothing to do with the Lord. Wants to take me away from God, not towards Him. The Holy Ghost of God lives in my body, your body. He can give us the victory through prayer and pursuit. Ask Him. Talk to Him. Yield yourself to Him in the morning, throughout the day. Help me, God. Help me, God. If you're serious about it. Some are not. Some are not serious. Unconcerned, careless. Flesh has a strong grip on some Christians. A strong grip. But if you want your life to count for God, you've got to be aware of this and you've got to be on top of it. through the power of His Spirit. Is there anybody here this morning who would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. But I would appreciate you remembering to pray for people like me. Would you slip your hand up this morning if you're not saved? I want to pray for you and ask God to speak to your heart today. I don't know your name, maybe. Come to you, won't come to you, anybody like that. If you're here today, you've been saved and never baptized, that first step of obedience is baptism. The Holy Spirit wants you to do it. The flesh says, no, you don't need to. You obey the Spirit of God. Come and follow Christ in baptism this morning. Whatever the need is in your life, the altar will be open. You meet one of these men down here, tell them what you need. They'll pray with you. They'll get you to the right person if you need to be saved, get you to the right place if you need to be baptized. But many, many hands went up, and I'm glad they did. I appreciate your honesty. Because, friend, that is how it is in my life. The rivalry is on every day. And I do not want to fulfill the lust of my flesh. Oh, help us. God, please, work in our hearts. Send your Spirit, God, in power upon our lives. May we yield to Him day in and day out. Give us the victory, I pray, in Christ's name. Let's stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. Let me encourage you. And the flesh says, you don't need to go to the altar. But the Spirit of God says, yes, I spoke to you. You obey the Lord. I spoke to you. While we wait this morning.